This week, we're picking back up on our journey from Baja to Alaska. We're going to talk about the fun little town of Talkeetna, Alaska, base camp for all of the Denali climbers. Plus, Abby has quite the frightening weather story. That and a whole lot more. This is RV Miles.
Since 1912, L.L. Bean has been helping people get outside together with gear tips and advice for exploring all the possibilities of the outdoors all year long. Here's a quick tip for your next ski, snowboard, snowshoe, or sledding trip. Change into your socks and base layers when you get to the mountain or trailhead, not before. A toasty car ride is a great way to ease into the day, but it might introduce moisture that could make you cold later. Start dry and warm, so you'll stay dry and warm. For more tips, easy how-tos, and inspiring stories, visit llbean.com/explore.
Welcome to episode number 311 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby. And we are two RVers who, along with our three boys, Jack, Ethan, and Henry, have been crisscrossing all over North America on one epic road trip since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, our national parks, and a whole lot more.
I'm excited to pick up talking about our Baja to Alaska journey again. It's been several weeks.
It's been a minute.
The last time we chatted about it, we had just left Denali National Park, and we're kind of going on this episode to the other side of Denali, the little town of Talkeetna, which was a whole lot of fun. Place you definitely don't want to miss.
It was one of my favorite destinations of our entire trip.
But before we get there, Abby has had quite the day.
It has been quite the day. So as seems to be the trend right now, is winter even really here? So tonight we have a monthly night live. We've titled it, Where is Winter? It was 74 degrees yesterday here in the Quad Cities. It was 74 again today here in the Quad Cities. And so winter seems to be missing. Spring has arrived. And if anyone is enjoying springtime in the Midwest, you know that springtime in the Midwest means severe thunderstorms. It means tornadoes. It means really unpredictable weather. And that's what we've had today. In fact, by the time I got here to record this with you, the temperature has dropped almost 20 degrees.
Yeah, it's been one of those wild days. And, you know, this is a little bit earlier than you would normally expect this around here. The normal weather for this time of year would still regularly be freezing temperatures.
Yeah. I mean, is that really the normal anymore? There is no.
It's just all over the place. The wildest weather. It's been hitting the country all over the place for the last several years, of course. But
yeah.
But what happened to you today?
So we needed toilet paper. And, you know, toilet paper waits for no man. So, or no man waits for toilet paper, perhaps is the better saying. So I had put in an order at Target. This is one of the things, and actually it's going to, I didn't put it in my fresh tank, so I'll talk about it now. What I really love about the Target app is that there is no minimum of what you can order, and it's usually ready within 2 hours. That's a huge difference between if you use Walmart grocery pickup. They have a $35 minimum, and then you usually have to select a day most of the time for the following day. But with Target, you can put in just a couple of things. And I put in that we needed dishwasher pods and we needed 20 rolls of toilet paper. So I put that in and it was ready for me to go pick up. So I needed to go. It was around 2 o'clock. And I thought, well, okay, it's looking a little sussy out there. You know, you just get that vibe that it's getting a little nasty outside. So check the weather app. Sure enough, we're under a severe thunderstorm warning. But it's saying, okay, it's going to pass. And I'm looking at the radar and it looks like it's not going to, you know, it's going to stay kind of southeast of us. And I think, okay, well, I'm going to go. So I went ahead and got in the car and I went down to Target, got my order, got my Starbucks. I'm making my way back. I'm probably like a few miles from the house. I come up to one of the lights. I'm sitting there and it's a 2-lane highway. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear, and it is this massive explosion. There is fire and blue light, and one of the transformers had blown like right there at the intersection, and all of the streetlights go out, all of the stoplights go out, I'm at a four-way stop here. Everyone is paralyzed. There's at least probably between the four stops, there's at least 8 to 10 cars. And we're all just kind of sitting there. And of course, I'm like, okay, person on my right needs to go. And it's kind of pandemonium. And then all of a sudden, again, boom, and another massive explosion out of that transformer. And this time power lines come down. And now people are just like, beep, 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 beep. And it is like a free-for-all in this intersection. And take off. It's raining, by the way. So it's really starting to rain super heavy. I mean, this came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, it is pouring. I get safely through the intersection because I let the people, a bunch of us just let the people on the left go because that's where the downed power lines were. And we wanted to get them away from that. So it was like, just go. And then I get through the intersection and I'm driving to head home. And then at this point, there's almost zero visibility and the winds start to pick up and we're talking 40, 50 mile per hour winds start coming in. And I'm hearing on the windshield, crack, 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 like massive crack. So here comes hail and it is just pounding me. So I have the flashers on. There's zero visibility at this point. And I'm like, but I'm going to keep moving because I was concerned that if I pulled over to the side of the road, even with the flashers on, that there was a potential that someone was going to come along and they wouldn't realize they were out of the lane. They wouldn't see me or something, that they were going to smack into the back of me. So I felt like the best thing to do was to keep going because I kind of had an idea that this was probably going to be really short-lived. But of course, like my anxiety kicks in and I'm really doing my best to try and manage my anxiety in this moment because it's been a real long time since I've been driving in such weather. So I'm trying to run through like my head of all the things. And then I'm thinking to myself like, okay, if, you know, if we're in a situation where there's a supercell or a tornado is going to touch down, like I know the landscape enough that there's just nowhere for me to go. Like the best thing I can do is I've got to keep driving because this is just wide open space. Like it's just, we're all just sitting ducks over here in this section of the road. So I'm like trying to keep myself going and I end up calling Jay and I'm like, okay, you got to talk me through this. Because I'm having a real hard time and I'm kind of like talking to him about everything that's been happening. And so we're just kind of talking it like, okay, let's, you know, keep going. And as soon as it started, all of a sudden, boom, gone. Sun comes out, blue sky, rain totally stops. Wind dies down. By the time I get back to the house and there's just debris everywhere. The roads are covered in debris. There's downed tree limbs. I mean, it just looked like a tornado had ripped through, but there's been no confirmed, you know, touches or anything like that. But it was terrifying. And it got me thinking on my way out here to record this, that one of the things that was really stressful about that whole situation, besides the fact that there's, I mean, I could feel the electricity in my body, like when it went off, like it was so intense and we were all so close to it. So besides that being really intense, I was thinking that intersection was really stressful because there seemed to be, no one really had any rhyme or reason to what they do. It was sort of like survival of the fittest. Everyone was just trying to get out there. And I know part of it is we were all really scared, but it got me thinking, is what I believe to be the rules of the road still correct?
Yeah, when a stoplight goes out, yeah, it, and I think, of course, the answer is always, it's supposed to be the first person that arrives to the intersection goes first. You treat it as if it's a stop sign, but you were in a situation where everybody was kind of just there stopped, right?
Yeah, because I had come up to, well, what had happened is I came up to it, to my stop, I had the right, I had the red. And so did oncoming traffic. We both had the red, but then, you know, it's a four-way stop. So cross traffic was actually just getting the yellow. So everyone was kind of coming to a collective stop when the first explosion happened. Yeah. And then everything just shut down. There wasn't even flashing reds. It was a complete and total black traffic light. And so then this is before the second boom. So now I'm thinking, okay, we've got to operate this like a four-way stop. Okay. And we need to clear traffic. And so I start to kind of operate it like that. And I think that that's kind of maybe collectively where everyone was going, but then it blew again. Well, and that time the power lines came down and then people were just like, oh, heck yeah, no.
I think that you're going to always, of course, the person on the right is supposed to go if people arrive at the same time. But like you're in a situation there where, A, there's no right because there's people in all directions. Right. But B, I don't think you're ever going to be in that situation when people don't start to get a little bit selfish and be thinking about their own safety and all that and sort of ignore some of those things, yeah, right?
There was a lot of timid, like gentle movement out into the intersection by people before that second explosion. But I think it's just a really good reminder. It was a good reminder for me once I calmed down and kind of, you know, was looking back on the situation that in a non-heightened situation, that was an incredibly heightened situation, very unusual situation. I've never encountered anything like that before. I've never seen up close like that what it looks like when power explodes. Yeah, and that is terrifying.
It's been very strange because that came on very quickly. We had some warnings that there might be some rain today, and that was it. And then that thunderstorm warning went away. And then all of a sudden we got a new thunderstorm warning.
Yeah.
Immediately that was, you know, good for like a half hour. And that for a thunderstorm warning to come on that fast without a watch or anything.
Yeah.
Was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah. It was really surprising because I got home and this is about 2:30 in the afternoon by the time I get home, 2:30, 2:45. And Ethan has a theater. He has rehearsal tonight and it's down here by the studio. He had to be there at 4:30 and we're getting ready to go and I'm getting ready to come down here to record. And you call and you say, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if we should scrap this or if Ethan should even come down. There's another thunderstorm warning. And I was like, what? We just got out of one. What are you talking about? Yeah. And then sure enough, I go and I look and it's saying that it's going to go till 4:30. And
the text was real ominous about it too. It was like, it was very serious about like tornadoes and all that.
Yeah. We went from 40 mile per hour wind gusts with this particular watch that lasted for half an hour. It went up to 60 mile per hour wind gusts.
Size hail.
So again, I'm faced with this dilemma. Do we go or do we stay? Cause he had to be there at 4:30 and I hadn't heard from the teacher yet that they were going to cancel. And it, of course, because it's ending right when he has to be there. So we went. Some people might say it wasn't my better judgment, but you know, I went out, we had some blue skies and I know blue skies does not indicate that there will not be a tornado. Like we're very much aware of all of that. And I was keeping an eye on the radar and, you know, I was looking for some signs that would tell me, but of course I had in the back of my head, well, you had other signs from earlier and everything looked clear and you went and looked what happened then. But we made it down here. The warning has since expired and he made it to class and we didn't have any of the issues. It seemed like the storm, this particular stretch stayed actually, I think a little northeast of us. But this is going to be the evening tonight. We were going to do Monthly Night Live here in the studio just because it's easier for everybody and it just looks better. And we decided we're going to scrap that and do it at home because it does look like for the rest of the night, while we've been lucky this afternoon, it does look like this evening that stuff is going to sit right down on top of us and I'm just not comfortable not being home with the kids. So we're going to do Monthly Night Live tonight from the house and hopefully everything will be fine. But this is the season. Tis the season. I actually don't really know for some people, you know, if the season really stops. Obviously, our friends in the South, you guys put up with this a little bit more consistently at the beginning of the year than we have already. But it does look like we're in it now. Like this is the weather I don't think is going to dip much more. I mean, we're going to stay in the 50s and 60s even while you're gone.
It was warm. Oh my gosh. Wonderful. This though is a textbook example of why we always say in any seasoned RVer, we'll say this to you if they've been doing it for a long time. Pull your awning in when you're not using it. Yeah. And I don't care if you tie it down. That only makes the damage worse.
Yeah.
It can happen in a split second. It can happen when you just walked your trash up to the dumpster. If you're not sitting under your awning, don't leave it out because the damage that it can cause to your RV when the wind picks up out of nowhere is absurd. I mean, you can be talking about totaling your RV. It can be really that bad.
I still had in the house when I was at home, and you told me that this next one was coming. This part of me was like, oh, I need to go outside and bring things in. And then I was like, oh, wait.
Wait, we don't.
I don't have to do that. But then we did take the path to come here. I did take the path to go by Bexy and Sabre just to make sure they were okay. I don't know why I was looking for an awning to be out or something random like that. They're stored in storage. They're fine. But I was like, we're just going to take the path that takes us by the RVs, and we're going to make sure that they're A-okay. And they were fine.
Yeah. And there's, you know, you don't want to have to be put in. I walked by in between the two storms. I had walked over to the coffee shop by here, just got a quick soda and used their internet briefly, because we don't have internet here in the studio yet.
Are we ever going to get internet in this studio?
I've been talking to Metronet about it, and all this, and, you know, they gave me quotes and everything, and I'm like, okay, ready to do this. And they're like, great, we can install it in June. And I'm like, what? No.
What?
Yeah, because they're actually technically not at this building yet. So they haven't brought fiber down here. It's just, and it's estimated. So I didn't know that. So I've been talking with this one company. Now I got to go talk to the other company. Anyway,
Anywho. The
point being that the coffee shop had their, you know, their like storefront awnings out, and they were out there manually hand cranking them in while it was raining.
That's rough. Yeah. Bring those awnings in. Tis the season to bring in the awning.
All right, folks, we are once again excited to talk to you about Talkeetna, Alaska. It's a wonderful little town on the Susitna River, and we're going to get to that in just a moment.
We'll be right back.
Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. Award-winning tow bars, base plates, and brakes, a full line of weight-distributing hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and a new line of fifth wheel hitches. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. To learn more about how Blue Ox can make your travel adventures even more stress-free, visit blueox.com.
Get ready to use your outside voice. Whether you're camping at a local state park, driving cross-country to a music festival, or just want to try out the RV life before you buy, the adventure begins as soon as you step inside your RV share rental. Choose from thousands of options, including pet-friendly RVs and RVs that can be delivered right to your campsite. Each booking on RV Share also includes 24/7 roadside assistance for the ultimate peace of mind on the open road. With a wide-ranging inventory from affordable pop-up campers to luxury motorhomes, RV Share has a rental that is perfect for you. Book your RV now for the solar eclipse this April. There is still availability near the path of totality, and make sure to check out RV Share's Total Solar Eclipse RV Guide. Use promo code RVMILES30 for $30 off a $500 rental or more at RVShare.com. That's RVMILES30 for $30 off $500 at RVShare.com.
We're back, and we're here to continue our journey from Baja to Alaska, deep into Alaska at the moment, on our way really towards the end of our experience in Alaska. A few more places to go to after this town, Talkeetna, Alaska. Talkeetna is on the other side of Denali Mountain from Denali National Park. It's still right up against Denali National Park, but this just isn't the area that you really go to visit the park, go to the main visitor center and go on all the trails and the main road and stuff. This is the other side where mountaineers usually go to base camp for adventures, whether they're climbing Denali, or there's a whole lot of other sort of adventure stuff that you can do, like flight seeing, boat trips, sled dog tours, and more. It is sort of it feels to me like that sort of base camp adventure town. It feels like a ski resort town. It feels like in any of those towns where they've got like all sorts of outfitters, but then there's all sorts of like shops that are open up to the main roadway, and you can walk up and down the streets and grab a coffee or an ice cream and eat outside on patios, lots of live music and fun. It was a really wonderful place to spend a few days.
Yeah. It, as I said at the top of the show, Absolutely one of my favorite places that we went to. I'm so glad that we decided to go here. It was kind of like a last minute addition for us. And I think before we dive into the awesomeness that is Talkeetna, we have to talk about where we camped while we were there. So we did pavement camping while we were there. We camped at, so it's this tiny museum. It was a fishing museum that was actually closed and for sale. But they have in their driveway, they have two camping spots that you can rent for $40 a night that have full hookups. And you just park right in that spot. You just hook right up and you just drop your money or check, if you have a check, into the little pay slot. And we had found this on iOverlander. iOverlander was just a huge asset to us while we were going through all of Baja to Alaska. So they had two spots that were first come, first served that had full hookups. They also had two more spots that were harvest host locations. So even if you just wanted to stay for one night, and you could totally come through Talkeetna for one night and get a real good flavor of Talkeetna, go to some great restaurants, have some good drinks, like just walk around and shop, especially if you come in on the weekend, you know, in the summer, you can absolutely stay for one night using your Harvest Host membership and then go on the next day. So the spaces are not very big. Keep that in mind.
Basically, like,
it's a driveway.
It's like a house driveway.
Yeah.
It is a house driveway. The museum was in a former house.
So we're a 25-foot RV. And we did not have enough space to really park the truck in front of it. We kind of had to angle it a little bit and we weren't really out in the road. It's kind of like tucked into a neighborhood, a little subdivision of Talkeetna right off of the main strip. So keep that in mind. It's really, I would not recommend it to anyone else bigger than 25 feet.
The museum was for sale. Who knows?
That's true.
It still exists, but there is full hookup camping in town. There are some other options available to you in town, but it was great to be able to just, we were able to really just walk right into, we were a block or two out of the main drag.
And it was also one of the cheaper full hookup options. And really the big draw to it was that we were a block from the main hub of downtown. Yeah. Some of these other campgrounds that are full hookups, they're a little bit further out on the outskirts. So I really wanted to be able to just like walk right in. So thankfully it worked out. We were able to get one of the first come, first served. And I think we were there two nights, and we only had one person show up the whole time we were there. So it kind of felt like we had the whole parking lot to ourselves. So that's how we camped. Nothing glamorous, but there was full hookups and that was really nice to be able to dump the tanks and rinse everything. And that was such a treat. Downtown, let's talk a little bit about, what we did.
First of all, downtown Talkeetna is one of the best places to actually see Denali Mountain, where we rarely saw it in the park. We had wonderful views of it, both on our way to Talkeetna and then in downtown Talkeetna. And then another experience we're going to talk about in a minute. They have a great park that is right on the edge of the Susitna River, and you can go out there and short walk outside of downtown. And there's a little parking lot there and stuff too. And you can get some wonderful views of the river and the mountain itself.
And we did that a few times. So Jason and I got up in the morning and there are several little coffee shops in and around the downtown area. So go and enjoy all of them. And we would grab a coffee and maybe a little breakfast sandwich or something. And then we would just walk the strip and we would end up kind of at the end of town where the river is. And we would just enjoy like the stunning view of the mountain. We really lucked out that weekend. The weather was so gorgeous and it was so clear. And we just got the most incredible views of the mountain. You couldn't stop looking at it.
There is over here a visitor center for Denali National Park. Yes. And this is actually where the climbers go to check in and all that sort of stuff. At this visitor center, and they have all the climber information. It's a really cool place to visit, even if you're not a climber, because they have like a whole, it's just like a really log cabin-y feel. And they have this sort of sitting room with a big stone fireplace where they have all of these log books from expeditions of Denali that you can page through and you know, read all of the details of. And a lot of that sort of climbing history of Denali you can find over here at this visitor center.
Yeah, this feels a little bit less like, so over in the national park, the Front Country Visitor Center is really big and expansive, and it's really geared to be sort of like a destination for all kinds of tourists. This one feels like a secret Denali library, a little bit, like the history of Denali, what the essence really of Denali is in this visitor center. And I know that's weird because the Front Country Visitor Center has so much great information, but we were just in there on a Saturday and there was really no one in there.
Yeah.
And we just kind of were able to go through and read all of these things and really learn. There's, you know, there's no visitor center movie there. It's really sort of a self-led in how you absorb the information that they have available. It was really cool. Absolutely recommend it just to stop in, even if you're there for just a few minutes.
And of course, we were there right at the climbing season had ended when we were there. So that might be part of why nobody was coming in there,
but they have that bulletin board, remember, that would say like how many. So they have this bulletin board up when you first come in, and it'll say how many currently on the mountain.
Yeah.
And it'll have a number, and it was zero. There was nobody on the mountain at that time. And then it'll say how many have climbed. I think it was a couple categories, like how many had attempted to climb and how many had summited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was so fascinating.
It was really, really neat to do. It's the Walter Harper Ranger Station in Talkeetna. Next thing we did was, of course, visit lots of eateries. And as we tend to do, we had some pizza. Yeah, at a place we went to several times, Mountain High Pizza Pie. This is a really cool, mostly outdoor restaurant. They have a small indoor area, but this is like a big, mostly outdoor patio type place. A lot of the stuff in Talkeetna kind of, you know, it's kind of like it looks like it's thrown together with what they have, right? Yeah. I mean, they're not getting lots of supplies there on a regular basis, right? So this is sort of a eclectic outdoor patio with decor and with a stage. And they had several bands that we watched while just hanging out, eating pizza, having a beer or two. Really, really good pizza and some good beers.
And they want you to stay a while. Yeah. So they don't try to rush you out. It's, again, you just open seating, find somewhere. And
you and I got into, I don't know why, but we played the card game Phase 10 a whole bunch of times here at this place.
Yeah.
And Phase 10, if you've never played Phase 10, it is like the most frustrating game.
It's very frustrating.
And I don't know why, but for some reason we got into a sort of a routine of playing that game there.
Yeah. And remember we had that little boy that came up to us.
Oh man.
And he was like, I'm going to play this game and you adults are going to give me these cards. And he was very determined to play Phase 10 with us. And so we were like trying to teach him how to play Phase 10 while at the same time just being like, hey, it's so nice.
He clearly was being, free range parented a little bit.
I mean, he was like three or four and he was just kind of running all over to every single table and just being like, hi, I'm at your table now. What are you eating? Can I have it? it was quite something. He was very adorable. I mean, such a sweet little boy, but we did that. And we had the thing about Talkeetna too, that's really cool is, they really love, in the summertime at least, or when we were there, they really celebrate like live music, outdoor music. So a lot of the restaurants and a lot of the venues have live music that's happening all throughout the day, you know, just from a full-on bands like we saw at Mountain High Pizza Pie to just like a solo acoustic cover guy like down the street near the food trucks. So there's always something where there's a lot of the vibe is like sit back, grab a drink, enjoy some music, you know, and just be. It's really great.
A lot of these businesses, like this is their season. They only make money or perhaps are only open during this time. And, you know, there's a lot of tourism coming through. So they're making the best of it. And it's just a really fun experience. The next place we ate was a place called Denali Brew Pub. You had some vegan nachos that you loved there.
They were amazing.
I don't remember what I ate, but it was another good sort of outdoor seating, lots of, you know, fires to sit around, that sort of thing.
So I actually ate there twice.
Yeah, you went on your own.
I did. So it was so great. One afternoon, the kids were just really zonked. They just wanted to hang out. You had some work you wanted to do. You were feeling like you needed to get to. And so I went and spent the afternoon walking around downtown, going into all the little shops, like looking for all the little old-timey historic things about Talkeetna. I talked to some business owners there. You know, I talked to one woman she'd been running a business there for 30 years. And, you know, she was talking to me about like what it is in the winter there. I mean, the place is completely cut off in the winter. It's really fascinating to talk to residents of Alaska. Like their lives are just so, the juxtaposition between what life is like for them in the summer versus what it's like in the winter is so fascinating. And yeah, I went back over to, it's the Denali Brewing Company is a brewery there, and they are the Denali Brew Pub as well. And so I went over there and sat at the bar and had these vegan nachos that were, I can't do them justice. If you find yourself in Talkeetna, just trust me. Don't be afraid that it says vegan. Get these nachos. They were so good.
Abby cannot turn down nachos if they're on a menu.
I love nachos. I love making nachos. I love eating nachos. I love nachos. You have a nacho bar, I will come to your party. I don't care. You don't even have to know me. Just tell me there's a nacho bar and I will be there. I love nachos.
So when you visit Alaska, we've said this before, and we'll say it again in an upcoming episode for sure. It is well worth it to hold on to some money to use to do a few tours. There's only so much you can see by land, and there are flight trips, boat trips, and train trips that you can take that really get you into some of the most wonderful areas. And this was a place where we took the opportunity to have an experience on the Alaska Railway. And we talked to several other RVers that had taken the Alaska Railway in other places. Like they may have left their RV in Anchorage and took the train down to Denali, for instance. There's lots of options like that. But we decided here that we were going to take what the Alaska Railway calls the Hurricane Turn. And so this is what's called a flag stop train. And a flag stop basically means that the people along the route of the train can throw up a flag and the train will stop for them, right? There are people that live along this train route, and this train route is the only access they have to their homes. People also use this train route to go on long-term hikes or go back into the wilderness for some camping. But we just took the journey out and back, as a lot of people do, which brought us some astounding views of the Alaska wilderness, but of Denali, of course, and of some wildlife.
So I know a lot of people think that this isn't the most exciting or adventurous way to see Alaska, but I am telling you, you know, there are amazing airplane rides you can take, and you can fly over glaciers, and you can go out into the water, and you can see, you know, whales, and you can have all that. But there is something about getting on a train that feels so connected to the part of Alaska's past, and getting on a train and taking that out into the wilderness, that was just so magical. And it was exactly what our family needed, because it wasn't in your face constant stimulation, right? Like, it was just this beautiful, chill train ride on this gorgeous Alaska day. And yes, it was expensive. I think for all five of us, it was about $560.
Yeah, it's like $130 a person.
Yeah, it was expensive, but it was money that we had set aside. And frankly, if you have people in your group who are not comfortable on the water, who are not comfortable in the air, this is the thing to do with those people. This is a way to give them the adventure and connect them to Alaska as well. While we were on this train ride, we stopped several times for wildlife.
It's because it is a flag stop train, and they can stop when they want to. If we saw, if anybody saw wildlife, we could tell them and they would slow down and stop and or even back the train up to try to see it again. And we saw sort of a bear fishing out in the water. There's a guide, there's a person on the train whose job it was to sort of give you all sorts of sights and sounds and an overview of the train service and all that sort of stuff. But it is a real working passenger train. So there were people getting on and off in certain locations. They delivered supplies like barrels of fuel to people out in the wilderness. And there's no, there's really no amenities on a train like this. Like there was no food service, anything like
snacks.
That.
They had snacks. So there was coffee like, and water, like and candy bars and
like on your own sort of candy bar.
Yeah.
You know,
honor system. Yeah. And so they had snacks, but you could pack your own food. You could bring food, which we did.
As a matter of fact, we did stop for enough time that you could sort of sit by the river and have a quick lunch a couple times. They stopped a couple times for us to all get off. One was at a cabin that was ran by the artist whose work was displayed in this cabin, which was kind of cool. And we got to go see some salmon in the river and just sort of hang out for a bit, which was just lovely. But this whole train ride follows the Susitna River, and there's an observation car. So there's like you go up to the second story, and there's big 360 degree view windows. So we got just some wonderful views of Denali going around bends and stuff. And
so beautiful.
And seeing, you know, just a bear on its own fishing in the waters. It was just some stunning views.
And so the end of the route before you turn around and come back actually stops on a bridge. And you're very high up and it's a very tall bridge. And you have this incredible view of Hurricane Gulch. This is why it's called the Hurricane Turn. And you come out onto the bridge, you come to a stop, you are out over this massive gulch, and then they open the cargo doors in the cargo train section. They open those up, and for anyone who wants to, you can come back there and you can look out onto the gulch. And all that's between you and the gulch, like the bottom at one section, is like some netting.
Yeah.
You know,
I think a rope.
The kids did not go. They were like, yeah, hard pass. We'll stay up here in observation. Jason and I went.
It was incredible.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's overwhelming. I mean, this was just one of those weekends where everything just seemed to work out so perfectly for us in Alaska. And we got to see just how gorgeous the state is and how wild, and it's so beautiful. And all it does is, you know, you're just on this bridge and the conductor just walks to the other end of the cars. And we take back off and go in the other way. Yeah. We just follow our path back and drop some people off, pick some people up, continue to look for wildlife, just enjoy the view. We were gone for several hours. It was such a wonderful way to explore Denali in something that, you know, this is the, like Jason said, it's the last flagship train in the country.
Yeah.
You know, you get to do something that is unique only to that area right there.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyed this. And if there are other train routes that come that go from Talkeetna, it's a great place to do it because there is a campground that is right by the train station. Mm-hmm. So there are full hookup campgrounds and stuff around. So there's a campground right there. And then there's also a lot of parking at the train station as well, where you could probably leave your RV behind if you wanted to take one of the longer train routes as well.
I would love to tuck into a cabin in Talkeetna in the winter and then take that train on its winter service. Oh my gosh, that would just be amazing.
There are a lot of cruise ship excursions that would end up on a train that would stop in Talkeetna. Mm-hmm. And that's part of where a lot of the business for Talkeetna comes from. A lot of folks get off, they'll stop at Denali and maybe stop in Talkeetna and have a couple experiences. There's hotels around Denali that are owned by the cruise ships and stuff. So there's a lot of that kind of activity happening here.
And you might remember from our Denali episode that Talkeetna is where our painting, our piece of art from V-Ray came home with us.
Actually came from this museum that was closing because they had everything like half off and we found it really cheap. So.
Yeah, we did. And we were able to bring this picture that this piece of art that we had loved. And I think we have number, I think it's like 183 of 300 of this particular print. And while it wasn't the giant life-sized one, you know, the not life-sized, but the oversized one that we had seen in Denali, it actually was the perfect size.
It's on our wall.
Oh, he is just so charming. And
we should name him.
We should. Henry named him Barry because, you know, they always put a Y on the end of everything.
Everything's Barry.
I know, Fordo and Barry and, yeah, the Ellie for his elephant. You know, it's always got a little E on the end. But it just, Talkeetna is where we bought our first piece of art. Talkeetna is where we really felt connected for the first time, really, to Alaska and its wilderness and the community and the people there. Hadn't really felt that since Chicken. And so I really loved it there. I hope that if you're on the fence as you plan your Alaska trip about whether or not to go to Talkeetna, I hope we've convinced you to go. It is absolutely worth it.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will check the level of our tanks.
Yes, we will. We'll be right back.
Did you know that eTrailer.com is focused on putting actual hands on the products they sell? That allows the representatives to see, touch, and know exactly what it is like to use the product they're providing you with quality service and recommendations based on personal experience. If you're looking for a one-stop shop, eTrailer.com has you covered with a variety of RV items, including towing options, interior accessories, replacement parts, storage, and more. Have you ever wondered where you can find some of the odd parts for your RV online? eTrailer.com is where you do it. Visit rvmiles.com/eTrailer and receive free shipping on orders over $99. That's rvmiles.com/eTrailer.
Welcome back to the show. It is time to check the level of our tanks. Sponsored by Matt's RV Reviews Liquefied RV Toilet Treatment, the No BS Toilet Treatment. You can find the liquid and now the pod version over at liquefiedrv.com. Okay, Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
All right, buckle up.
Oh, no, I don't have that much time. I got to go get the kids phone.
I've been seeing around town and you're seeing elsewhere in the country too. These signs at restaurants in particular and other businesses, but mostly restaurants, that say a 3.99% fee will be charged, will be added on top of your order for credit card payments or non-cash payments. And actually what I'm seeing around here is not, the signs are all the same. It's not like each business is somewhere. They're all getting this exact same sign. And look, we run a small business. My only jobs in the past 15, 20 years have been mostly running businesses. Many of them who take credit card payments. And I get that there is a fee for credit card payments. These signs say that 3.99% that they're charging you does not go to the businesses, that goes directly to the credit card companies. That's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. And please, I know there's going to be some business owners on here that are a little annoyed with me saying this.
But listen, it just got hot in here.
First of all, I'm okay. If you want to charge me extra for using a credit card, you just be upfront and honest about it. Credit card fees are not 3.99%. First of all, they're not that high. They range between like 1.5% and 2.5%. That's what it costs businesses to run credit cards. Debit card transactions cost them like nothing. They cost like 15 to 20 cents maximum. But all of these businesses all of a sudden are charging this 3 to 4% fee for using credit cards. Some I've seen 5%. It's not going to the credit card company. And when you're charging it for debit card use too, which is like, I think what a lot of people do, you know, a lot of people try to use their debit card to make a payment instead of a credit card because you're not trying to run up your credit, right? We do that. Why are you still charging me that fee? And the frustrating thing to me is that, that it's just passed off as this thing, like it's, you know, it, things are tough on businesses. It's an expense that businesses have to fork over. And I've seen this argument that like businesses shouldn't be paying for people's vacations, you know, and their airline, because, you know, people are getting airline points and stuff off their credit cards.
They're not paying for my vacation.
Right. Well, my argument to that is, I shouldn't be paying for your point of service system. I shouldn't be paying for your software. I shouldn't be paying because what?
Just become a cash only institution. If you don't want to pay for that software, why do I have to pick up the cost for it? You're making the choice to have credit cards. And I know why you're making the choice, because you will lose business,
right,
if you are cash only.
Exactly. And there are businesses that are paying like 3.99%, but they're not paying that to Visa and MasterCard. They're paying it to these third-party processors like Square and Toast, these companies that provide them with the terminals. They provide them with like inventory software and all that sort of stuff that used to cost them thousands of dollars that they don't have to pay for anymore. It's included free, but you know, you're paying Square 3% of your transactions. And I shouldn't have to be covering that. On top of this, the whole reason businesses take credit cards in the first place is to get access to the purchasing power of people's credit. But back when I ran one of the theaters I ran when I took over, there was a bar in the lobby and it was cash only. And that bar made about $10,000 a year. First thing I did when we took over was, literally the first thing I did at this business was accepted credit cards at the bar.
Then you demolished the bar and built an old brand new one.
we made $70,000 in bar transactions that year. And this is just a theater where people are buying, you know, one drink at intermission. We made $70,000 that year on
You're
just bar
transactions.
You're so sweet
that you think people bought one drink. They bought one drink before the show. They bought one drink at intermission. These are theater people. Come on now.
Again, I know how hard it is for businesses, but be honest. This is not going to these companies. Part of it is going to you. And this is sort of, to me, it's just like, it's kind of like this thing that came up during COVID, when inflation went up and everything, we saw not only these credit card charges popping up left and right, we started seeing the inflation adjustment service charges. You're paying an additional 5% or whatever. Just put it into your price. I know in the end, the customer's got to pay for everything. I know I'm not naive about that, but the customer also needs to be able to judge your prices and decide what they want to buy or decide if they want to go to another business. And when you have hidden fees like that, it's really hard for the customer to judge these things. Campgrounds do the same stuff.
You know, we have a couple things that we run, obviously mile marker memberships. And then when we do the homecoming and we go through services in order to make those accessible, we eat those fees. RV Miles eats those fees. I get it. It's really frustrating,
you know,
but we don't build it into what we charge people because we're making the choice to have those. And part of having that and having access to that software, having access to be able to organize ourselves like that and bring us all together in certain spaces, it comes with a cost. Nothing is free.
Do we want to go back to a society that had to write checks?
Oh, please don't make
me. We write one check. We run a business and we write one check a month, and we didn't write any before. Now we write one for the mortgage for our studio and that's it.
I know the world in which I can, having lived now where I can literally just tap my phone to something and be like, boop, I paid. I don't even have to have the actual card with me. To have to go back to a world where I used to write a check for my 2 cheeseburger combo meal from McDonald's is not a world I want to return to.
I mean, we got like, look.
I don't want to go back.
debit and credit cards have given us the ability to not have to carry large amounts of cash around, not have to have the insecurity of checks, both for people and for business. I mean, businesses don't want to take checks, right? People, you know, they're fraud with checks all the time.
I get it. Some people are real hot into cash. Like they have their cash and they divide it up into envelopes for a month, and this is how they operate and this is how they work off of. And I don't have any problem with that. That is fine. What I have a problem with is being forced into what feels like in order to not pay for your 3.99%. I have to be like, oh, well, I have to have cash. Why do I have to have cash? Or I just don't go there, which is fine. I guess that's the choice I have to make. I just don't go there.
It's fine. Look, if your business wants to be cash only, that's fine. If you want to charge a credit card fee, that's fine. Just be upfront and honest with what it is, what it's for.
And it's, you know, we were at one yesterday where the sign was teeny, teeny, tiny and kind of like hidden. And it didn't say it on the receipt. It was just a sign. And I was like, that's sussy. And I don't like that.
It was at a restaurant where it was a sit-down restaurant, but you pay at the counter up front. So the sign is only at the counter. So it's not like you can even make the decision up there. And of course, you could argue it and all that sort of stuff. But like, who wants to do that? I just stop with the extra fees. Just the price is the price is the price. Make the price the price. That's fine. Businesses should be allowed to do what they want, but I should be allowed to see what that business wants me to do before I do it so that I can make the decision whether I want to participate in it.
So this was your spicy take. We don't get a lot of spicy takes from Jason, but he had a real spicy take on this one. He's been having this, I think you said to me, you've been having this argument in your head about credit card fees since we left the restaurant on Saturday. So for 2 days now, Jason has been arguing this in his head.
The big thing for me is debit cards are not credit cards. And treating debit cards the same as credit cards is ridiculous. We should all be able to pay pretty much anywhere with debit cards. The only reason a business shouldn't accept debit cards is they want to hide the money.
Do you think it's like harder to run a debit card or have people write checks for food and then have to go through the process of depositing all of that?
And having to get that money when people commit fraud.
Yeah.
Or they just bounce a check, write a bad check, bounce the check.
Okay. That was fascinating. I'm glad we talked about that, actually. It's going to be really interesting. The comment section of this is going to be really, really interesting. What is in your fresh tank this week?
My fresh tank is that I was just at, look, there, the weather was bad today. But it was also beautiful. But we just drove up to Iowa City, which is about an hour away from here, to pick up my skis. Actually, my dad's old skis that I'm having the bindings remounted on at a ski shop. The closest ski shop was in Iowa City, basically. But what was my fresh tank is about how busy that shop was.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the celebrity. Oh,
No. I can tell you about the celebrity sighting too.
Sighting there too.
But the shop was just incredibly busy with people getting their bikes ready for the season and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool. But we had dinner in Iowa City. And if you have been following Hawkeyes women's basketball, you know, Caitlin Clark has become this super
phenomenal
celebrity, and she just became the all-time highest NCAA scorer, men's or women's.
Incredible.
And she's decided she's not going to play in her senior year and is going into the WNBA draft. But we had dinner downtown. They had a game that afternoon, which was the game where she beat that record. And there was a little party for her at a restaurant that we walked by. We didn't necessarily realize that it was literally for her to show up at.
Yeah, we just thought it was people celebrating a big Hawkeyes win and a big monumental moment for her. It was at this restaurant called Marquee.
But when we left the restaurant that we were eating at, when we're heading back to the truck, we walked past that restaurant and the party had sort of ended and cleared out. But she's sitting in there talking to a few people as it ends up. So we got to see Caitlin Clark, which was really cool.
I know. And I don't normally get like, ooh, about people when I see them, but we were walking past and I did a double take and I looked at you and I said, oh my gosh, Jay, that's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Like,
she's sitting right there. And I was trying so hard not to stare at her because it's creepy and I didn't want to. But I think I'm so proud of, you know, what this team sort of, how I'm just thrilled that people are paying attention to women's basketball.
Yeah, is what she's,
you know, and so many other players, and not just her. And I recognize that, you know, there are a ton of other amazing female athletes out there as well. But it is very cool, at least where we live, because there are a lot of Hawkeyes fans in the Quad Cities. It is Hawkeyes fever here. And to be able to see in Iowa City, Iowa, in a restaurant, just hanging out with her friends. She's a young woman. She's like 21 years old, maybe, or something.
Iowa City's cool, yo.
Iowa City is really cool. I can totally move there. I mean, they got Trader Joe's.
They had
Trader Joe's is about to be in my black tank, though.
And they had a 7-story Nike had bought a 7-story billboard with Caitlin on it.
Yeah.
It was like a vertical banner hanging on the side of the building. Go, really cool.
Go get that sponsorship money, lady. Go get it. Do it. I mean, she's on all the Hy-Vee posters right now, like the grocery store.
She's like Patrick Mahomes up here.
She is. She's the Patrick Mahomes of Iowa.
What's in your black tank this week?
So as I just alluded to, it's more of a gray tank, but Trader Joe's, you're in my black tank, A, because you won't come to the Quad Cities, despite the fact that tens of thousands of people have signed a petition.
There's a rumor. Oh,
stop it. There's been a rumor for like 5 years.
I think it's a little more than a rumor now that it actually
might be. We'll see. Maybe Bettendorf can make it happen. But I was in the Iowa City one, and I haven't been in another Trader Joe's in a while, so they could still be there. But I was really disappointed that some of my staple gluten-free things that I've been buying for years and years and years when I go to a Trader Joe's were gone. And I was just a little bummed out about that, because Trader Joe's has always been really a really great place for affordable, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan options. And I noticed that the vegan seemed to be still really predominant, and there seemed to be a lot of dairy-free, but I could tell that gluten-free isn't as trendy anymore. And so they had taken a lot of the things that I loved off of the shelf, and that was just kind of a bummer. So hopefully some of it will come back. Maybe it's just a supply thing. They didn't have it, but I didn't even really see a spot on the shelf where that would have lived if they were out of it. So I was a little bummed by that.
What's in your fresh tank?
Hey, so my fresh tank goes to Mixed Tiles. I kind of alluded several weeks ago that maybe I would talk about them. And we have finally gotten our Mixed Tiles. For those that don't know, it's just a fancy company. I mean, other companies have been doing it for years, but you can get these really lightweight photo tiles. And there's all different ways that you can do them. We have a real simple 8x8 with a black frame, and you can arrange them on your wall. They're really easy to remove. They've got some similar to like command strips on the back. Some of them, the bigger ones, have the command strips are magnetic, so you can remove the photo and be interchangeable with them.
For the seasons.
Yeah. You know, if you have
your holiday photos up.
Yeah. If you have your fall family photo and then you have your spring family photo. So we had done a whole collage of all the pictures that we've taken together as a family over the course of the 7 years that we were on the road and even further than that, I included our very first family camping trip when we went to the Smoky Mountains in 2015. So we had this, we have this really beautiful collage now up on the wall, and I'm really pleased with it. You know, if they're expensive out of pocket, but if you look for deals like I did, I think for the fact that we have 36 tiles, and I can't exactly remember where I paid, somewhere around maybe $200 for all.
I'm not mad at that price.
I'm not mad at that price, but that was a steep, steep, steep discount. Like it would have been more like 7 or 8, I think, just at face value for these.
The print quality isn't like incredible.
Oh, no.
Like I wouldn't say this isn't like...
That's why I wouldn't pay like full price. Look for a really good discount. I mean, Shutterfly does it. Snapfish does it. I mean,
but
they all do it.
It's a great way to make a large collage of a lot of stuff. And it was effective. It looks great in our living room.
It's beautiful. And it's just really nice. We have in the center like a sign that we also ordered from them that says Our Adventure. And then we made all of the photos around it. And it's really lovely. And it's a nice way to look back at the progression of our family, but also the progression of our travels and to remember all those wonderful places we went. Of course, I cried as we were like putting them on. Look, look at my babies. And
you
I cried.
You can add to it in the future if you want
to.
Yeah,
we can
too.
Totally That's, add to it. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for something, and especially for RVers, and I know that a lot of RVers have either do an affiliate with Mixed Tiles or they just share it through their socials. Because they're so lightweight, they're really great to have in your RV as well. They don't add a lot of weight. You can make really beautiful collages with them and you don't have to put holes in the walls. You know, that's the nice thing about the command strips on the back of them. So they're really great for RVers as well to create a beautiful space inside your RV. So I really like them. I've been really happy with them. We've got a few other, you and I have some stuff to put in our room that I've done. And then I've got a collage of the boys as well that I'm going to put on the wall. So yeah, check them out. We'll link to them in the show notes if you want to take a look at it. They're not sponsoring us. We're not affiliated with them or anything. It's just a product that I really like. And I think it's fun to kind of create the collages with.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles podcast.
Yes, it is. And hey, thank you so much to all of you who went over after we did our call to action last week to go over and leave 5-star reviews of the podcast on RV Miles. We super appreciate that. Thank you so much. If you haven't had the chance to do that and you would still like to support our small business, we promise you we will not charge you 3.99% to go over to the podcast and do this. You can go over to Apple Podcast, leave a 5-star review for RV Miles. That helps put us in front of a whole new generation of RV listeners. But until next week, stay healthy, stay weather aware, and keep logging those RV miles.
Bye.
Bye.